a transformation in the heart. The first step is to simply listen for content. It's called shravana. The second step is to reflect about this. It's called manana. And the third learning step is nididhyasana, which can mean to meditate about it. That's the literal translation. Or it can mean to just apply a knowledge. Have we not all seen when we have acted upon what we have heard and entered with this the arena of life, things started to happen. It was almost maybe like in Bengal they say that throwing a rock candy into a molasses of sugar cane, and as you do this, a profound change happens in the liquid. It starts to I think the English word is crystallize for this process. So when you have knowledge and you act upon it, it will be something else. It will be very it will affect something deep within you. So we will try to do these learning steps. The Vaishnava Acharyas, particularly Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, has added a fourth learning step. That is, you do vandanam, or you pray to the Lord, that He kindly helps you, that this knowledge takes a firm root in your heart. The Vaishnavas are a little bit different from the Upanishadic Shadic tradition in that they believe that everything moves under the hands of the Lord, and then they petition the Lord with prayer for practically everything they try to do in their lives. Good. This is a little bit what we the steps, and we will guide you in three steps so that you can hear. Some of you wonder about the bird. We didn't exactly invite him in, but we welcome him as a personality who wants to who has a good fortune to hear some spiritual sound vibration. After the lecture, we will most probably show him a little bit the way to nature, that he can have a little free time in the nature. So, but for the time being, while he is here, please welcome him. Don't feel disturbed by his. He wants to also say something. Or maybe he looks for but let us be with him for this time of the lecture. Because today I will talk a little bit more, I will skip the Jaya Radha Madhava. I will go to the text, but I would like to explain the principle which we teach in the Tree of Life. I note that some of you were not here yesterday, and for them I would like to repeat where we are, and that, for the others it might help for as a reminder. Yesterday we introduced the basic concept of the Tree of Life. We said just like a healthy tree has good sturdy roots which go deep, a good trunk which help him to stand tall in the world, and a crown through which he gives shade to those who are in need, and fruits, and sometimes firewood. We also need four areas. Three has four areas. Roots, trunk and bark, and a crown. The same way we need spiritual roots to be healthy. This is the roots which roots normally are not seen, only in this tree and in some rainforest trees. Roots means our spiritual practice, which we do in the morning hours before we start our life, and which we might also do to close the day. We need a trunk, the way we stand in this world, that is a physical and emotional well-being, which is nourished and rests on the spiritual foundation of our life. And in order not to become egomaniacs, even so to say spiritual egomaniacs, who only think about their own advancement, it's sometimes embarrassing to see these type of personalities. You need to have a principle in life which you bring into your relationship, into relationships, your social well-being. And that is a compassionate attitude, an emphatic attitude. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says so clearly in Jiva Dharma that the main dharma means the purpose, the meaningful existence of a Vaishnava, that is someone who has faced his head towards God and divine things. The main dharma of a godly person is to be compassionate in his relationships. So we will learn all about these things, don't worry. It's maybe now a little bit much, but I'm making you familiar repeatedly with the concept. So this type of information we said yesterday, you will find also in the world. It is maybe not all self-improvement programs take care of all the areas. Sometimes there's just a fitness aspect, for instance, in the yoga movement or the fitness clubs, we can see that aspect. They want to help people by taking care of their health. But those who are going deeper, and we can see that a lot in the yoga scene and now in the awareness of modern men, and there is some talk of spirituality, and not only some, a lot sometimes, and emotional well-being, and also they tell you you can't be a spiritual person if you go to a kirtan and then go home and kick your dog. In other words, you must be compassionate. This is available. What is so nice in that, also, what is a unique feature, if you so want, of the Tree of Life program, that it adds sattva, the understanding of sattva to it, as the main agent which brings all these four dimensions of our human, like the spiritual, emotional, physical, and social dimension. The sattva brings all these dimensions to a level which is just wow, I would like to say in Australian language. And how this is so, I would like to show you in these 3 days. I cannot show this to you only by theory, by philosophy. No, I must give you an experience, and therefore I must have a willing audience who is willing to go with me on this exciting journey of coming to a level where all our treasures really lie and can be found. So we will try to do this in a brief crash course, but there is talk here on the farm between Ajita Prabhu, Dian, and so on, to give longer retreats, also to advertise them in the big world out there of spiritually inclined people, and then build for them retreat facilities here in this very ideal place, and then just offer ongoing training which is fulfilling the need of the postmodern audience. That's a new word I had to learn. Postmodern audience means contemporary people who have three needs which may be different from the needs of the old guys here, like me, when we are not postmodern audience, we were the modern audience. But they have a need to be in their spirituality absolutely autonomous, that is, self-determined and self-willed. They don't look so much, in other words, for joining something which is in a way well organized, which is institutional, and which is prescriptive in a terms like, please do this, here's your daily schedule, and so on and so forth. No, they want to be autonomous. They have a need to make an experience. They don't look for a well-constructed theological explanation of the world. Some of them are intellectuals. They also care for this, but they have a need. They are just cooked by Kali Yuga, and they are totally hot in their lives with passion and never find and Rajagun and what it brings to them. Stress, and once again more stress. They want to have a need of an experience. And now listen to this. They look for spirituality. I will say it now that your hairs will arise in protest. Because for us devotees, it is a contradiction in terms. They look for non-religious spirituality. What they mean with this word is not what we understand in our circle. They mean they don't look for a well laid out religion which tells them what they do and so on and so forth. They want to go to Mount Warning and experience the spirit of ancient cultures there. They want to go to the Hare Krishna movement, and they want to see what is the experience of Kirtan. How does it move and transform my heart? If we tell them, if you don't become a Hare Krishna, you are nonsense, that is difficult for them to hear. So I'm telling it a little exaggerated, and please, I'm trying to move your thoughts and get you sweating. I don't want to say it very indirect and academically correct. I just want to say like that you can think about it. So the tree of life, which is only a small, small particle of what we call the Vedic way of life, is an entry, and it is based on this wonderful discovery of the three forces which work everything in nature, And if you learn to apply these forces properly, especially if you learn to operate in sattva gun, you will have a tremendous, let us say, input into the four areas of your human life, which will really bring everything to a different level. Now, what I will do now is something which you are very used to. I will give a lecture on what is sattva in terms of what we are doing here. I will need a month to talk about it and give it justice. And there is a wonderful academic article which is now published in this academic book. I think someone like Sri Prahlad would be very interested in Aniruddha, who are very, very deep thinkers, where the sattva gun, in my understanding, is explained to a contemporary audience in a way which is just very exhaustive and, you know, comprehensive. Thank you, Sri Prahlad. Would you mind to act as my souffleur when I don't have the right, because I know German, but English is a second language. Trying to learn, giving my best, and then Australian English is the third language. No worries, mate, and so on. Yes, I'm learning everything. trying. So, and you can in our Vedic Way, we have what we call the Vedic Way library, where there are such articles, books, and so on, available to those who want to go to whatever depths. But here I will just, in terms of the retreat, try to give a very comprehensive explanation of sattva gun. You will have to listen very carefully, and I will watch each single one of you, if you are asleep or not. and then I will request you to go through these steps. First listening, and then comes your own reflection, and you're thinking how you apply it. We will do step 2 and step 3 with our retreat partners. We formed them yesterday. And I will just ask if everyone has one, because someone has come, some of you have come new. And I will ask you to reflect on what you have heard. So it is very good if you listen very attentively, because you will have to, you will be put on the test in about half an hour. It's not directly an IQ test. It will remain and not at all anything dangerous, you know. It is something easy and like riding on a wave. You will see, it's beautiful. No problem. No worries. So, Krishna, I have to be Australian here. So we will, because you are all devotees or close to devotees, you came on a Krishna conscious project. Can you please awaken this thing to life? I will read from a text of the Bhagavatam. Please let us chant the prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Ativadhaduno dhumas tasmat agnistrayi maya tamasastu rajas tasmat satvam yat brahma darshanam. It's a little bit complicated, I must admit. I will try to say it in simple ways. It's now a little. It's an ancient text, so please, you have to try to enter into it. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than the raw wood. And fire is still better, for by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas. But goodness or sattva is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Let me go, because it took me so many years to understand it. I will say it very simple. There's earth, from which trees come, and then from the wood of those trees fire can come. So in the same way, there are three forces in nature. They're called tamas, or inertia, or sometimes ignorance, when it refers to what it does to human beings. There's rajas, or creation, when it refers to the universe, or passion, when it refers to the human beings. And then there is sattva, which in Sanskrit says sattvam yat brahma darshanam. By sattva you can have a darshan, means a direct darshan, or seeing or realizing the spiritual truth, brahma. So there is now a purport by Srila Prabhupada. I will read this to you. As explained above, one can get release from the conditioned life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. But if there are impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Sincere candidates must therefore... Let us stop here for a moment and just reflect now about what we have heard. I will do it for you. Okay, it says here that you require to come to a certain level in order to act upon bhakti. This level is the sattva platform, which gives you an access to the absolute truth. It's like from there. It's a gateway, it's a door. When it's open, you can go directly. The thing has died again. I'm sorry, I'm a non-computer user. I think I have to learn this, or we have to get better computers which stay with us. Oh, it's out again. No, here it is, did something. I'm sorry, now it stands on the head. So, but if it's difficult to access sattva, no problem. You can learn it from a under spiritual guidance, from a spiritual master. Sincere candidates must therefore approach an expert spiritual master for such a progressive march. And the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct the disciple from any stage of life. I will try now something to move to the next page. Tamas, Rajas, or Sattva. I need a proper book. Bhanu Nandini, I'm really sorry. I admit I'm foolish. I don't know if I open to the next page or if I'm somewhere in the universe now. Can you please? I'm very. You sure? Okay. Okay. It is a mistake, therefore, to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally beneficial. Except Vishnu, all separated forms are manifested under the conditions of material energy. And therefore the forms of material energy cannot help anyone to rise to the platform of sattva, which alone can liberate a person from material bondage. Okay, this says that there are religions or paths which are not sattvic, but they are having tamasic or rajasic elements and can't help us to reach beyond the material world to the spiritual dimension. The uncivilized state of life or the life of the lower animals is controlled by the mode of tamas. The civilized life of men with a passion for various types of material benefits is the stage of rajas. The rajas stage of life gives a slight clue to the realization of the absolute truth in the forms of fine sentiments and philosophy, art and culture with moral and ethical principles. We have this a lot in Europe where we have classical music which always tries to make contact with God. But the mode of sattva is a still higher stage of material quality which actually helps one in realizing the absolute truth. In other words, there's a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods as well as the respective results derived from the predominating deities, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Hara, Hara Shiva. Let me summarize. If you wish to have fire, you can't have it from earth alone. You can't have it alone from fire, from wood. You will need another fire to bring it out, and then you can have a fire and cook a meal or perform a sacrifice, a fire sacrifice, which was done in these ancient times to make contact with the Lord. So if you want to progress in your life and come to the level of fire where you can see and make a sacrifice with and cook something, you need to come to sattva. Now, what is sattva? This is, I will try to say it briefly and comprehensively that we can understand. I will just pray. I'm used to this. What can I do? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Radha Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The easiest way, in my mind, to explain sattva for our purposes here is to speak of energies, of powers, of forces. There are three powerful forces in nature which work on the macrocosmic level, on the microcosmic level, and also on the mesocosmic level. Meso means everything which is between. The macro, in the universe, the macrocosmic level, you see creation, powerful forces which create the planets. You see destruction coming and going of civilizations, and you see also maintenance, that state which is in between creation and destruction, which requires a superior type of energy to hold all this. You see these three forces, creation, destruction, maintenance, on the atomic level. In the 12th canto, it is said that there is a constant destruction going on. You know, we know this on the meso cosmic level. Our own skin is, you know, constantly in a process of reproduction. There's sometimes old skin which has to come off it. It is, but what we are interested here is, what is the experience of these powerful forces? Creation means rajas, destruction means tamas, and maintenance means sattva. What is the influence of these three qualities on our life and the way how we experience our life, how we experience energy moving within us, or not being at our disposal, and so on. In terms of our own experience, a very easy way to explain these forces is that rajas is an energy which has an outgoing direction. We exert it, for instance, when we run, when we move, when we learn and accumulate knowledge through our knowledge acquiring senses. When we speak, it can be an exertion, and it can be rajas. Doesn't have to be, as we will see close by. I want to first give you when we create something, build a house, build up a family, create offspring, children, and so on. Tamas is the exact opposite. It's the inert phase. It's when we sleep, or when our mind is exhausted from all this exertion and goes into a state of inertia. If we are not careful, it can go very, very, very deeply away into states even of increased inertia, which is depression and moods. These two forces, rajas and tamas, are always moving in our day. For instance, we are very active, or we feel we have to be, but then we overexert if we are not careful, and we create stress, which always brings us to a tamas, that is distress, and so on. Sattva is a force. Rajas is a force which has this direction, outgoing. Tamas is a force which brings us down, to inertia, and then it can go deeper into things we don't even want to mention here, sloth, etc. And sattva is the state where we are maintaining a state of equilibrium, of composure, of maintaining something. It's usually very easy as an experience of this state is this happiness. Tamas, rajas, you experience as stress. Tamas, you experience first as exhaustion, and then you can go into distress if you're not carefully. Something which, according to WHO, is the main threat of our civilization. Mental illnesses, that's a huge thing, or mental discomfort when it's not yet so bad. No. But sattva is a mode or a force which brings you inside, where something wonderful will happen, which I will explain in a moment. But I would like to give you a little picture, because we are from Australia and we are beach boys and beach girls. And we have an experience of the wonderful ocean. You know, in the ocean you can see a couple of forces, and I would name for this analogy three of them. One is when you bathe, you can experience the pulling force of the ocean, which brings you outside to the ocean. That it's called tide. You can also experience the downward pull in the ocean. You know, when a wave, especially a maverick wave, and it just crashes upon you and brings you down. And sattva would be that force, just in an analogy, which brings you to the beach. It's a force which surfers appreciate very much, the waves, where they do body surfing and hard metal surfing. I don't know that. I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't think that is there. But when they do surfing and use the waves to carry them, not to pull them outward or to pull them downwards, but they use them to carry them towards the beach. Sometimes they can ride quite long on this for a long time. So in our sattva module, we want to learn how to utilize this force which brings us in this direction, the inside direction, the safe direction, so to say, and it pulls us, brings us inside, what we call in Sanskrit the Dahara Akash. It is a wonderful place which only few know to inhabit, but which everyone in this world longs for. The Dahara Akash is a place within. It is a sacred space. It is ultimately a spiritual place. It has been, there is a very nice comparison for this sacred space, which appears in the Chandogya Upanishad and is quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the human body is like a city with nine gates through which constant transactions take place. Two gates are the eyes through which I constantly see something. Two other gates are the ears through which I hear sound. The two other gates are the nostrils through which I smell fragrance. And these are six gates. And another gate is the mouth through which I take in wonderful prasadam and food. It will soon come. We have prepared an excellent meal for you for the breakfast. But something goes out also Words go out of the mouth, which are the most powerful thing which goes out, and other things can also go out. And this makes seven gates, and then there are two extra gates which I will mention only discreetly. They are the gates underneath the belt, through which things go out, mostly out. Out and in. In this city of nine gates, you find a very special house. I don't know if you have visited European cities, or even better to visit, yeah, the best cities where you can still see it are in the Adria coast. They are usually surrounded with a big wall. They were built by the Romans, a stone wall, white stone, and then there are several gates which you need to cross when you want to go inside the town. So in the same way, our body is protected by a skin, and there are gates through which things come inside, and also traffic goes outside. But what is very, very interesting for us here is the special house. It's the heart. And inside that special house, the heart house, is a special place. It's a spiritual place in which all your spiritual discoveries take place. It's in this place where you, the soul, reside, and in this place where God resides. Everything is in that place. Eternity, life, power within, that spiritual energy. And those who know how to get into that hard room, that sacred space inside, they will see their Brahma-darshanam, the spiritual perception. Yesterday we heard this verse from the Bhagavatam, where it says, "In the nest of the tree of life, in the tree of the body." Here, in this analogy, we don't talk of a town. But the body is not a town, it's a tree. There is a nest. Means a space where two friends reside. The soul and the Lord. This is where Sattva-gun brings you to. This is where the ingoing force leads you to. It leads you into the Dahara Akash, the spiritual place within, which helps you, the sacred space within, which just helps you to have a God realization. All those modes of nature, or forces of nature, or powers of nature, are covering the pure soul, but one is very helpful for making that Brahma Darshanam, realizing the supreme truth, that is Sattva. Let me give you an example. Curtains. You have in old times very thick curtains. We call them die Nachtvorhänge. Little German is also culturally interesting. The night curtains. You can't see any light through them. That is tamagun, someone who is covered by that energy of inertia and ignorance, and then if you go deeper, distress and that is, he cannot see the Lord very easily. Although sometimes by some quirks, something unusual, we get catapulted out of this, but that is very rare. Tamas is like a curtain which is ornamented, which is not so thick. It is not the no-no curtain. some light can come through. And sattva is what you call a day curtain. For instance, this wonderful fabric of the Harinam Chattas. It's very thin. And if you put it before the window, you see the sun coming through. So in sattva gun, that's why we are so interested in it. We see the spirit, the pure spirit, God and the soul coming through and empowering our lives in a very nice way. Now the question is, I will now go a little bit into the reflecting mood. Okay, we heard about forces. Okay, you gave an example for us Australians that the sattva force will bring you inside. You gave the example of the wave, which can bring us not down and not out into a dangerous sea, but into a very safe space, which we can reside. Okay, but let me now ask you, how do I ride the waves? What is my server's instruction? I would like to give you a principle, a philosophical principle, how you can access these moods. It is very simple. It's sangha, by associating with things which are in the mode, in this energy. Well, I would like to give you an example. If you would like to be in sattva, in rajas, you could just start a fight with someone. You could offend him, he offends you back, it gets worse, all of a sudden you feel that you shake inside. Oh my God, it's coming. Oh my God, it's coming. Rajas energy. Oh, it gets further and further, and all of a sudden, ping, 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 ping. You have that energy. It can also come in other situations. There is, for instance, sexuality. It's an energy. It's in the mode of rajas and can or tamas, depending on the way. Anyway, this is something I don't wish to go inside. But you, those of you who are not celibate, who have the sacred Grihastha ashram, they know. All of a sudden, you do certain things, and all of a sudden, then an energy is coming, which you have evoked by associating with it. Or tamas, let's quickly move to tamas. You just need to take a substance, alcohol, which is in the mode, it's brewed, it was staying for a long time, and you drink it, you have association with it, you ingest it, all of a sudden you can feel it's coming, the energy is coming, and it's very, very strong. As a child, when I was young, I was a little adventurous, and I was also an ocean lover, and I would go, it's embarrassing to say, but we are in a retreat. We want to build a community and we want to bond. So I decided to bathe in the winter, but it was so cold, and I'm very sensitive to cold. So I intuitively knew I need a little tamas here, something which switches me off so that I don't feel the cold. And I took a bottle of whiskey, drank it, and then entered the ocean. And I didn't feel the cold, but I felt the influence of tamagun. I couldn't. It was all over this place, and I almost drowned because nothing was working any longer. Everything was confusion in the body, the system paralyzed. So the Bhagavatam says, simply by associating with things which are within these forces, within these categories, within these modes, you get the you feel the shakti, the energy. Whole civilizations have been associating with Rajas. And if you want to see how the Germans did their world war, you just switch on the YouTube under Hitler. Hear how he was firing up the people. Das Volk! You hear already the mode of passion. And he's getting himself into a fit, and everyone goes like, and runs into, and does further activities, aggressive activities, and all of a sudden you have a whole country turning berserk in Rajagun and Tamagun. They're associating. I sometimes do something, I hope we can do it, where I committee experiment. Okay, then I don't tell you. I will do something in the workshop with you where you will feel it while being able to remain seated on your place. It's a very civilized exercise, but it is powerful. I will allow you to associate with certain modes and see what is happening. I remember some story which came to Germany, I hope it is right, about Srila Prabhupada visiting our temple in Australia. It was either in Melbourne. In Melbourne we had our very early temple, is it right? Or where were early temples in Australia?
First Sydney, then Melbourne.
I do not know which bathroom it was in which temple, but Prabhupada came, he inspected like he always did when he saw a new temple. He was very interested in the buildings which we acquired for the worship of Lord Krishna. He came and he inspected everything. This nature. Once, for instance, when we had a castle in Germany and Prabhupada wanted to see the castle, so he made a tour and he came to that translator room. And I had just taken a rest. I was lying under my table. It was a flat table like this one. And all of a sudden I dreamt. Now Prabhupada was there talking in the translator room, and he talked, but his voice became louder until I realized, my God, he's there! So then I thought, he had given a lecture the day before. He had said, I was never lazy in the service of my spiritual master. And I thought, I could see, he was inspecting the tables and the work which was done there. One was the first translation, then the editing, and then the up till the proofreading. So our leader was explaining to Prabhupada the translation process of his books in the German language. And I knew they would come to my table, which was the first translation. So I thought, if Prabhupada sees me just lying like a dog under this table, wow, this will be very bad for me. But on the other hand, when he just sees me, coming, you know, this was a flat table, coming out behind the table, just like a little, these puppets you have, you know, you go like, and then they pop out of some box. He might either get shocked or I will look very foolish, especially with my severely reddened, tomato red. Cheek, you know, it looks so cheeky. But I thought, well, I'm in an emergency. It looks still better if I just come out. So I'm coming out, and I hope Prabhupada was still with the proofreading at that table. So I came out behind the table. And his eyes fell on me. Prabhupada looked And then he just started to laugh like anything. I was happy. It's all right to be a fool before the spiritual master, make him laugh. But it's very, very bad when he chastises you so severely. And Prabhupada's eyes, he saw that I was really very shocked, but somewhat released. And his eyes communicated, "Don't worry, it's all right." So Prabhupada also inspected the bathroom of the Melbourne temple. And there were many devotees. I don't know if Aniruddha is here. He is now in Melbourne, no? Aniruddha, are you still with us? Yeah. And he saw the typical Hare Krishna bathroom when there is too many people. You know, these bathrooms are created for maybe 5 people, a family, or 8 people, or 10, but not for 500 pilgrims who are in a terrible hurry to take their bath and do other bathroom activities. And he came in the men's bathroom, and there were, I read it and I heard it, there were you know, some forgotten underwears, copins. There was hair because they did the shaving just to be properly effulgent before Srila Prabhupada in the lecture. And there was hair all over the place. I don't know if he looked inside the toilets, but there may have been traces of heavy putting on the brakes, you know, in the toilet. They were bathrooms, you know, they were bathrooms as if an army marched just through. And Prabhupada was repulsed. He said, "This is tamagun. You're supposed to be brahmanas. How can brahmanas who are in sattvagun and value cleanliness, orderliness, have such a bathroom?" And then he got into a whole thing where he said, if you associate with tamagun, you will be covered in you, you will be tamasic. I gave you Brahman initiation. And he saw that little thing, that little rice corn, and he made a conclusion that, "Oh, you're not qualified for this." He would say about the deities, "I have given these deities in the hands of these mlechas." You know, if Prabhupada was heavy, I mean, that was like a bushfire. Nothing grew for some time, you know. But he really, he was a trainer. He is a teacher. So what I take from this lecture is, by associating with different qualities, there will be different results in your life. And Prabhupada alluded to this. Now I would like to go a little bit now in reflection. What it would mean for someone who wants a sattvic life, a life in which he can realize himself and God. He would have associated with qualities like harmony in relationships. He would not be very quarrelsome or just be not present in a relationship. He would be alert. He would try to be compassionate to others. He would be considerate. When you are in sattva, you will feel that even in the situation where there are threats around you which can bring you out of your midst, you will remain so composed. But when you are in rajas and tamas, even when you are in so-called paradisical situations, and if you are surrounded by friends. You will have expectations and fears that they are not fulfilled, rajas and tamas. Only if you learn how to associate with a sattvic lifestyle, will you be able to experience how you're drawn to on the spiritual platform, and where you will be unshaken ultimately, even in a situation like death and so on. But if we cannot learn what it means to be in sattva and allow ourselves to be ruled by rajas and tamas, no matter what situation we are able to create in our life, no matter where we live in our lives, no matter what type of people we manage to come close to and have a relationship, we will always experience the effects of tamas and rajas, that is, stress and distress in our lives. Therefore, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, it is really very important for us to learn to associate with sattva. And it's very easy. You have to learn the things which are in sattva and connect yourself with it, and then the force of sattva will do everything for you. You will be moved forward by an energy which brings you to happiness in this life, and composure in this life, peace, and to spiritual realizations, like in this verse, huh? Sattvam tat brahma darshanam. That you will experience, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics. I told you yesterday, I was, and maybe I still am, a typical rajasic swami. He travels everywhere, he overexerts, then he gets sick, has to go to a hospital. Rajas and tamas were battling in my life, although I did the good thing. I practice Krishna consciousness, believe me, I'm convinced and enthusiastic, and I do many things and so on. But my lifestyle was so influenced by and it started to kill me. And then I came to this hospital in Delhi, where I met this wonderful doctor, to whom I'm very grateful, Dr. Raju, from a very very long dynasty of Ayurvedic Kavirajas, you know, which goes really back, a lineage he has. And they just didn't give me medicine. That was one part of the cure, medicine and massages and all these applications which you get, Shirodhara, Bastis, and so on and so forth. But the main thing which he stressed was a sattvic lifestyle, sattvic food, early to bed, early up, meditation in the morning. It was extremely conducive to Krishna consciousness. And as he spoke to me, I could see through his voice and through his intelligence, through which he picked those words, my eternal spiritual master, who was talking to me and said, balance, balance, balance. He himself, when he traveled, had a rigorous lifestyle where he had very sattvic elements which he did, including exercise, that is, his morning walks. No? So, in this retreat, which is really very different from everything you have, at least from my retreats, I can say, we will give you sattvic food. We will ask you to do a sattvic lifestyle while you're here, early to bed, only 10 o'clock. It's not terroristic early, and you will rise and you will see you're well rested. You will get teas which will and exercises. You will get sangha. You will get and very, very interesting exercise. And one very simple exercise I like to do now with you to conclude this. I want to make an exercise where you can feel the ingoing or the going inside quality of sattva, and hopefully feel the real good effect on your consciousness. I need to just see, how are you? Are you awake and well? Do you need a little energy to wake up? Should we pump a little energy into our system? What do you think? Why not? We are in a retreat. Why not? Very heavy or middle heavy? What? Very heavy? Okay. You will get a chatriya exercise, my dear devotees. This will be serious now. Really very... No, this is a Bhagavatam class. The very heavy I do in a workshop. Okay, just some pranayama. Take your fists like this and watch me. Don't do it as of yet. On an inhale, you go up. And while you go up, two things are very important. If you go up when you have your arms like this, the effect will not be so big. Bring them a little back like this, as if a gentle friend is pulling your elbows back, but not in the painful area. And on an inhale, you go just up and breathe in air. Your head can go up. And this is very important to spread the fingers. All right? Then come down on a powerful exhale. And make fists. Is it clear? I suggest for the beginning, let us not do the head thing. It gets a little bit too... And you don't know, maybe you have a stiff neck and something is not good. I have a stiff neck, I can't do it. All right. Ready? Would someone be so kind to open the window? Because we will need tons and gallons of fresh air for this. And we do it all in one speed. We start slowly. Just watch it. No, kindly watch me. Yes, come on. If you want to bring some traction to it, bring your arms a little back, but not painfully back. And as you breathe out, try to imagine you do a... Here I will ask Sri Prahlad for help. What is it called when you have a bar and you pull yourself up?
Pull-up.
A pull-up. Oh, chan. So simple. Like a pull-up. You're moving now above the boat. Are you breathing? If you're sweating, that's desired. What music is this? My God, who's drumming there? Maya Puris? It's a little passionate here. Don't worry, we will become very sattvic. This is now pure passion. Very important. Place your hands in the area just underneath the navel. If you are a gent, a man, take your left hand first and put the right hand on it. If you are a lady, put the right hand first and put your left hand on it. Breathe very calmly and just observe what has happened in your body. Maybe some increased heartbeat, circulation has been maybe flows. Or there's a pain in the shoulder. Just observe. I request you now to bring your full attention to your in and outgoing breath. Don't just breathe, please, but bring your attention to your breath. That means when you inhale, say to yourself, I inhale and I know that I am inhaling. When you exhale, be aware of your exhalation. You exhale and you know that you are exhaling. We will try to be alert. If you would now relax in a way that you become sleepy, you would feel how tamagun works. If you try to be alert now, you will feel something wonderful in a few moments. Just stay with your breath. Simple, relaxed breathing. If you wish to deepen your breath, lengthen your exhale a little bit, then you will automatically deepen your inhale and also your exhale. Direct your attention now to the heart space. Whenever you breathe in, imagine you're breathing prana or life force to your heart. You can almost visualize stream of golden energy going into your heart. Breathe into your heart space. It is in the heart where the Bhagavatam and all the spiritual scriptures say we can find the soul. It is in that heart space where we can find the Lord. You will today do many things, eat, visit sessions, meet people, learn and laugh. But the real you, eternal soul, which is just observing all of this. Inside this body, deeper even than your mental movements, an eternal soul, a real you, who's a part of the Supreme Soul, the Paramatma, the Lord in the heart. Whatever happens, whatever you experience, you can go back into that sacred space where you will find the real self, and the Lord of the heart. Whatever many relationships you enter in today and all the other days, there's one supreme relationship always waiting for you, a relationship between you, the Lord of the heart. When you are in that relationship, you can really say from your heart the Australian anthem, "No worries, mate." I request you now to do a few deep breaths. You can rub your hands now bring the palms of your hands to your eyes. And then bring the hands away from the eyes and look into your hands as if you see them for the first time. Slowly become aware of the room around you. You might like to turn. I mean, that's not in the course. Just come. We did a little exercise here where we tried to go a little bit and experience the ingoing power of sattva. What I noticed is when we did this energy exercise and that passionate drumming, the bird was flying all over because there was rajas in the atmosphere. When we meditated, even the little bird who is crying for his freedom up there, he wants to go and fly with the others, has become somewhat peaceful. Yes, yes. No longer so loud and so agitated. Sattva is much, 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 millions of trillions of much more than just can be shown in a small exercise, which might work for someone, and for someone it's absolutely not working. Huh? Sattva is a very powerful energy, and we will explore it and learn some techniques in the workshops. They will come. I have a little time to answer one question at this moment, and then I will ask Banu Nandini to give us an orientation for the day, what happens when and how to prepare. Is there a question which you have? I saw Anthony's hand going up first. Is it Anthony? Yes. Please, Anthony, ask your question.
I'm just curious about completion. There's the creation, destruction, and maintenance. So is sattva completion as well?
I am concerned, asked Anthony, about completion. There's creation, destruction, and maintenance. So is sattva related to completion? See, when sattva gets very pure, it's called Vishuddha sattva, absolute free from any other traces of the material energy. And that is the space where completion or eternal reality is there. As long as we are here in this world, we are in what is called in Sanskrit, in the jagat. Jagat means constantly moving, it's constantly changing. And in this world, sattva is the closest to that eternal state, maintenance. But even maintenance is attacked by rajas and tamas in this world and their traces. So when you go into sattva and purify it, purify it, purify it, there is a stage when you have no longer any fabric between you and the sun, no curtain any longer. That is Vishuddha sattva. But that's a high state. In that state, the Lord is, you will talk to him and play with him and so on. But on the way, sattva gun is very, very helpful. Very helpful. I know there are most probably more questions, but please bear with me. It's absolutely important that we end on time, that is 9 o'clock, so that we can be ready for the workshops. And if you have questions, please by all means make a mental note of them, and we will have the facility later during the retreat to answer them. You can almost make a question box for your own self. What I wanted to say, and what I wanted you to take out of this, to take with you, is there are three powerful forces, and if you can contact the Sat-tva, you will find an energy which brings you to what we as souls are naturally yearning for. A state of harmony, not being disturbed in whatever situation we are, and being moved forward, really. Sattva leads, and that is in the Bhagavatam, a very surprising discovery for me, to Dharma, where we find our place, really, our unique place in this universe. And the moment we find that, the whole universe will work in carrying us forward. You will make effortless efforts. Sounds contradictory, but language is sometimes difficult. I cannot always confer things so easily. When you find out of sattva grows, you will find your own place. It's called Svadharma, and then your own Svadharma will link up, so to say, with a big Dharma which moves heaven and earth and everything, and just pull you along as if you have a with your little bicycle, if you have found a big truck and you have just leached onto the truck, I don't know even how to say it, grabbed onto the truck and moved forward. So yes, that is also there in the Vedic way, but we will not do too much at once. Good. I will request Bhanu Nandini now to tell us how we will run the retreat today. And thank you very much for your attention. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Professor Arunmani. So now we're moving to our prasadam, breakfast prasadam. And as Maharaj has already announced, we are going throughout this retreat to serve you healthy and conscious diet according to Ayurveda. And before we go out, I would just like to tell you something briefly about the diet we're going to take just this morning. We're going to have a simple khichdi. And we're not going to have too much of it because we want to stay in sattva guna. You all have heard, that our moods and our thoughts influence our body. Like if you are positive thinking and so on, you will be very healthy, and vice versa, if you have bad thoughts, if you have anxieties and so on, you will develop stress and illnesses and so on. So we all know about this already in the modern day and age. But also the scientists have shown that the way how we live or how we behave with our body, it will also influence the state of our consciousness or our mind or moods. This is something which Ayurveda teaches, that the mind and the body are interconnected. We cannot separate them, and we cannot say that, okay, I have a bit positive thinking, but then I will eat very unhealthy. It is going to impact us the way how we are eating. So eating cheesy things and all these type of fermented things which stay for a long time, it is all considered to be in the mode of karma. And even though we try to think, yeah, and meditate and, you know, be positive, really what we're going to take through our mouths and into our bellies is going to influence our thought processes. So this is why you're going to serve the simple khichdi, and it is a food which is giving our bodies everything we really need in the morning to function well. And it's going to, because of the Tao, it's giving us a lot of proteins, and because of the combination of rice and dal, this is very good for the vegetarians. So you most probably know all of these things. But we would like to request that you please take your meals in a conscious way. Because there's also a difference between eating consciously and unconsciously. If you eat unconscious, then you don't feel that you are actually, that you have enough of the prasadam which you took to yourself. You feel some hunger maybe, or if you're talking too much and engaging too much in different thoughts, you know, you cannot adjust properly. But if you're just consciously thinking of, you know, what I have eaten and it's really going to do me well, then you're going to have a very conscious way of taking prasadam, which is already a very different food you're going to take in. So this is it. Please try to eat little, because we want you to digest it well. We will also serve you at 11:50. We will make a break and we will have a fruit which we will serve to you, so that until 1 p.m. you will be able to really make it through the day, and you're going to have a very healthy meal. And yes, we're meeting at 11 o'clock again here for the first workshop of the day. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Thank you. Peace.
That was wonderful, actually.
Oh.